Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, for a little while, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 tonight as our text. And I want us to take a look and think about this passage and how it relates to the thought of a bold believer. And I want us to really put our heart and our mind into this and let God speak to us tonight from His Word, because I really think out of these two verses, there are some encouragement that we can get, and I believe there's some instruction that we can get, and I believe it can help us. It can help us grow in our walk with God. It can help us grow in our fellowship with one another. It can help us grow in our understanding of God's Word and in our purpose for accomplishing God's work in our life. So Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, as we think about Romans, the book of Romans, we can't help but think about the fact that it is really the declaration of salvation to the believer. From chapter 1, verse 1, right through to the completion of the book, it speaks completely and totally to the salvation of the believer and the purpose of that salvation, the work of that salvation, and right through into the purpose that the believer has and the calling the believer has and how that salvation works in and through our lives. Paul spent a great deal of this letter to the Roman church discussing principles of the gospel. He also discussed problems that were confronted by the gospel. Well, beginning here in chapter 12, Paul begins to deal with the practice of the gospel. We're going to see that belief is followed by behavior, and that doctrine is followed by deeds. Tonight, we have the opportunity to see exactly what God has to say through the Apostle Paul regarding a bold believer. Now, I'm convinced that there is a difference between a believer who gets saved and feels that that's all there is to serving God and to answering God, and the believer who gets saved and allows the Holy Spirit to stir within them and lead to a boldness that creates a submission as a man and a woman totally given to God's work. So tonight, let's look at that believer. Let's look at that believer that is totally given over to God. That believer that is saved. That believer that God has created through the blood of Christ and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And let's allow God to measure His Word against us. Notice with me first that there is the challenge to a bold believer. And this involves two things. First, it involves the personal dedication to proper things. When we are born again by faith in Christ, we are given a dedication. We are given a personal dedication to certain things, but not everything. There's a division. What was important before salvation is no longer important after salvation. Some of the old preachers used to say it this way: when you get saved, your want to changes. What you wanted to do before you were saved is different than what you wanted to do after you were saved. The same thing. It is that dedication to proper things. Well, what are those proper things tonight? First, it is to embrace our salvation. Now, when I'm talking about embracing it, I'm not talking about just accepting it and saying, okay, I am saved. I have an eternal life guaranteed to me in heaven by Jesus Christ. That's good enough. Now just move on and just take it for granted. No, when I say embrace salvation, I mean see it for what it really is worth and what it really does in our lives and the change that it has made in our lives. The excitement, the encouragement, the invigoration that we have internally. Let's take it and let's allow salvation to work within us and work from the inside out. I'm not talking about embellishing it. I'm not talking about making it into something that it isn't. I'm not talking about putting on airs or putting on a front. I'm talking about just being honest and sincere and humble before God and allowing His salvation to work its way from the inside out and make us the new person that He has saved us to be. Well, not only is it a proper thing to embrace our salvation, it's a proper thing to accept His indwelling. Now, when I'm talking about indwelling, I'm talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He comes and He sets up housekeeping in our heart. We become the temple of God. We become everything that God talks about through the tabernacle, through the temple, through everything that is given there. It becomes us. That's who we are. But we need to accept this and not try to inhibit it, not try to hold it back. We need to allow God to have His will and have His way in our life and let the Holy Spirit do the work that He has been put there to do. I think a lot of times today in the church and in the church as a whole, that it doesn't accomplish what God wants it to accomplish because we're holding back the Holy Spirit. We're holding back the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to go about doing all kinds of things that look good, all kinds of things that sound good, but when it comes right down to being submissive and dedicated to the things that God wants us to be dedicated to, we have a tendency to push back. We have a tendency to say, well, now I don't know. Let me think about this. God wants us to be submissive and not inhibit the work of the Holy Spirit. When we give ourselves over to that totally and completely, it's amazing what God can do through you and I. When we go through and we read all of these people in Scripture, we read about Paul, we read about Peter and James and John and all of the 12 that were there, and we go back into the Old Testament and we read about Moses and Aaron and all of those folks, they were just common people. There was nothing special about them. They were common, ordinary, everyday people. They had their faults, they had their failures, they had their hang-ups, just like you and I. They had the things, their personality quirks. They weren't liked by everybody. They were loved by some, they were hated by others, just like you and I are. But the thing is, when God took hold of them and changed their heart, the Holy Spirit took over from the inside and they did not inhibit Him. They let the Holy Spirit work, and when the Holy Spirit worked, the Holy Spirit used them and worked through them to not just change the people that were in front of them at the moment, but the Holy Spirit used these men and used these women of the Bible to change the world and change history. You and I are meeting tonight, and we are reading from the writings of Paul, not because Paul wrote, but because Paul was given the words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God wrote through the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm not saying God will do the same thing with you and I because He said everything He's going to say. But the actions that we have out in the workplace and out in the world around us, the influence that we have with people in our lives, all of that comes about through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us and not inhibit Him. But then there's one more. Dedication to the proper things is to endure His education. God wants to educate each one of us. Now, I'm not talking about a formal education. I'm not talking about something with a degree or something with a diploma. But I am talking about God wants us to take His Word. And God wants us to spend time in His Word. It is proper for the saved person of God to have a hunger and a desire to read the Word of God and to spend time in it, to listen to it, to find that radio station that's got the good preaching and teaching on it that speaks to your heart, that lets it build you up and grow you and develop you as a born-again Christian, as a child of God. God wants to educate each one of us based on His Word and based upon what He has to say, and He wants us to take that education, and He wants us to take that training, and He wants us to take it out and to use it to influence others. To influence others by our practices, by our works, and by our words. Well, I said there were two things that is the challenge of a bold believer. The first one was personal dedication to proper things. The second one is dedication to practical things. In other words, we need to avoid being purely intellectual. Christianity is not about memorizing the Bible. I'm not saying that we shouldn't memorize the Bible. I'm not saying we shouldn't practice memorization. We shouldn't remember things that are near and dear to our heart. But memorizing the Bible and being able to quote it, hey, that's really good. That looks really good on the outside. But what about having a heart for it? What about having a heart for loving people? A heart for loving God? If we come to the point where we make the Bible just an intellectual matter, where it's learning it and memorizing it and quoting it, and we wind up giving the impression that we're nothing more than just spiritually programmed robots that are going around and just reciting things that we have learned, that's not impressing God, and that's not creating any type of an impression on those who need to be saved. We are not purely intellectual. We have a heart. We have a spiritual heart. And we need to practice the Word of God and read the Word of God and put it to work in our lives through our heart. And that again comes back to the love of God and the love of people. Not based on what we can get from them or what they can give to us, but based upon the fact that we love them enough to want to give them something freely of the Word of God and of the will of God that may change their life. Well, not only should we avoid being purely intellectual, we should avoid being purely emotional. When we were saved, there may have been tears, and that's okay. When we were saved, there may have been just a quiet moment of just trying to grasp the situation. That's okay. But being saved isn't purely emotional. It isn't exclusive to emotion. If we base everything on emotion, then we can say that there is no spirituality unless there is some big emotional moving. There is a big movement in America and around the world today, especially with Christian music, that it has to be emotional before it's really touching and moving. Emotion can work against the Holy Spirit as well as work with the Holy Spirit. Being purely emotional is having no direction. It's just moving strictly as we're motivated to be moved by the emotion that's being stirred up inside of us. We need to hold on to the realities and the practicality of the Holy Spirit moving and working and God's Word moving and working throughout our lives and within our lives. We need to have sound spiritual direction in everything that we do. That brings me to the third point about practical matters. Practical matters says that God and God's work through the bold believer is a spiritual work. And when I say spiritual work, I'm talking about being submitted to God. Now, it's great to be submitted to the church. It's great to be submitted to the family. It is great to be submitted to the Bible. It's great to be submitted to all of these things. But if we're not submitted to the Lord first and foremost in everything that we do. The rest of it makes no sense. The rest of it is nothing more than idolatry. We need to be submitted to God because of its virtue. When I'm talking about virtue, I'm talking about honesty, sincerity. I'm talking about true, being true to the reality and the practicality of the Word of God. If we don't have God first in our life, and if we're not submitted wholly, totally, completely to Him, then nothing else can fall into place. Nothing else can work correctly. There must be virtue. And with virtue comes value. God brings value into our life. He makes our life worth something. He makes our life account for something and matter for something. It doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank. It doesn't matter what our net worth is. It doesn't matter how nice of a building that we have or how nice of a home that we have. All of those are good and there's nothing wrong with any of them. But those have absolutely no value unless we have God in our heart leading us and unless we are submitted to Him. The value that God brings into our life by us being submitted completely and totally to Him is an enormous value because it's a value that always reaps a dividend. It always reaps an interest. Because when God brings value into our life, we take that moving of God and the value that He brings and we spread it out. We invest it in other people. And we invest it in their lives. And we invest it in their eternal life. We invest it in their souls. And that brings dividends as well. That brings virtue into their life. That brings value into their life. When it's all said and done, it comes down to victory. It comes down to victory. The wholehearted, spiritual, being submitted, practical thing in the end is victory. It is eternal victory through Jesus Christ because we have a promise of eternity. We have a promise of God reaching down and giving us eternal life and guaranteeing that through His blood. But we also have other victories. We have a victory of an abundant life. And that abundant life begins at the moment we get saved. We take the time to be grateful, to have gratitude to God for what He has given us and what He has done for us. Not only do we have gratitude to God for what He has done and what He has given, but that victory extends into the lives of those that we have invested the Holy Spirit into, that we have invested the Word of God into. We have been bold enough to take the work of God in our life and invest it into the lives of others. That is one of the victories that we have the privilege of being a part of. Well, not only is there a challenge to the bold believer, but there is a change that comes into the bold believer's life. And that change is seen morally. We read in our passage to avoid being conformed to the world. Well, what exactly does that mean? It is the act of an individual taking on an outward change that does not come from within. In other words, we could say it's turning over a new leaf. We hear people all the time talk about, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make a change. New Year's is a prime time of that. We call it a New Year's resolution. They talk about, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. It is an outward change. It is conforming. It is conforming to something that the world says we need to do in order to be healthier, wealthier, stronger, prettier, whatever it may be. Paul says not to conform to this world. It doesn't mean that we have to just push aside everything it says, but not being conformed to this world is not let it have such an influence in your life that it becomes something you are obsessed with, and by being obsessed with it becomes a form of worship, which is idolatry. If we're going to be changed as a bold believer, then there are going to be some moral things that are going to take place in our life. And one of them is the world is not going to matter. It is not going to have a priority in our life. What will matter are the things of God. And that is seen when we go to being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It is a metamorphosis. That's what that word means. If you go back into the Greek and look at transformed, it actually comes from the same word that we get metamorphosis from. It happened to Moses. It happened to Stephen. Those are two examples that it happened to. Both of them, the Scripture gives a vivid account of somebody. Moses came down off Mount Sinai, and there was an obvious change in his appearance. Stephen, when they were stoning him, Stephen looked at the people that were stoning him, and they saw him, and they saw the face of an angel. It is an outward change. It is something that takes place from the inside out. It is a transforming, a metamorphosis. When we are saved, there is something that takes place inside of us, not just spiritually, but mentally as well. We know that we're different. We know that God has made a change in our life. And we know that that change is something that is permanent. And because of that change, the moral change that has taken place through the indwelling and the moving and the forgiving of the sin and all of that, it is a mental change that everyone around us sees. It is a change that makes us bold. That makes us bold in our walk, bold in our talk, confident, if you will, because now it's a matter of not knowing so much academically, but knowing from experience what God can do and the beauty of Jesus Christ living in my heart. Well, it is also seen motivationally. The change of a bold believer is a motivating change. A motivating change in a way that it seeks God's good service. We want the way of God in our life. Have you ever really given any thought or just experienced the moving of the question in your mind and in your heart, what would God have me to do? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to handle it? What kind of work does God have cut out for me? What kind of purpose? What's God's will for my life? That should not be something that bogs us down and weights us down. That should be something that motivates us. The boldness of the salvation that we have in our life should make that a motivating factor. Something, a question that we not only want answered, but a question that it's within our heart and our life, we must have it answered. We must have it answered so that there can be peace in our life. God has plans for each one of us, has a purpose for each one of us. We are saved to be a bold believer. A bold believer. And as we think about that, and as we dismiss tonight, and as we go about our week, let's go about our week seeking the boldness of a godly challenge in our life. A challenge that's going to reflect what God wants from us and what He wants to do through us to accomplish His will in this world. You see, His will in your life and His will in my life is not just about us. His will in our lives is about accomplishing that in someone else's life as well. And He does that through us. We are His spokesperson. We are the image of God given to those around us. And we can go about that with a heart of not just seeking that challenge, but seeking the change. The change that God has brought about in our life. And that change can be an influence and will be an influence in others' lives as well. It's something that's a daily work. It's not something that happens once and it's done. It's a daily work. It's a daily work because we fail God daily in accomplishing these things and reaching for these things. We fail God daily in striving for them, but then we have the opportunity to say, okay, God, I failed you this way, so let's get this behind us. I repent of it and show me how I can make this happen. What's next? It's a constant growing. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being sinless. When we see at the end of verse 2, and perfect will of God, that's not sinless. That's complete. That word perfect in the King James, if you go back and look at it, it means complete. The complete will of God. The complete will of God in your life. The complete will of God in my life. That complete will of God is both a challenge and a change. And both that challenge and that change takes place to affect someone else and to lead them to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be back in your house. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to open your word and to share the message of the bold believer. Now, Lord, I pray that we will take it, that we will hide it in our heart, that we will allow you the opportunity in the room to work and to grow and to develop us into the bold believers that you would have us to be. And in doing so, motivate us to go forward. Take your word into the workplace, into the world around us, and let us be the influence that reaches others for Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.